extremely involved in. And I'm going to let you tell who you are and why you're here.
Oh,
and here's the best thing
much.
To do.
Oh, my goodness.
You can hold this in one hand, right. You can put it over your ear, you can do whatever you want to do. As long as you talk to that end right there.
Okay. Everybody hear me? I don't know. Can you hear me if I don't use it?
No.
No. All right. I forgot I'm in Florida. Thank you, Pastor Elam and Connie, for having us here today. My name is Retha Butson. I'm an assistant to the director, and I'm happy. Can you hear me?
Assistant to director of
Pregnancy Caroline. I'm going to get to that.
You're in Florida.
I have to let them know everything. Pregnancy Caroline has been around for over 30 years. It started out, just as the name kind of describes it, it was a care line. It was at Bayfront Hospital. And it was a telephone line that young women called in where they were in a crisis. They didn't know what to do because they were pregnant. Let's see. Some of us may feel a little isolated in Charlotte County. I know recently you've probably heard about the new laws in New York and Illinois. Illinois is where I'm from. They also are passing a law that abortions can be done up to birth. There are some states that are doing them. If a child is born, it's not dead when it's born, then they will ask the mother and the doctor will allow the child to die. We all know this is murder. I get very emotional about it. Sorry. But in Port Charlotte, we seem like we're a little bit isolated, but we're not. There's an abortionist down the road. And abortions are being done in Port Charlotte. At Pregnancy Caroline, we try to help those women who come in and find out they're pregnant. They're in a situation they may not have a job. They may live with an abusive boyfriend, or they just don't have the money to support a baby. They're not educated. And those are some of the things that we try to counsel them and give them hope and give them love and show them that God loves them and that they have a purpose and their baby has a purpose. We have classes and an Earn While You Learn program. They come in for the classes and they actually earn mommy dollars. Then they can use those mommy dollars, we call them. It's kind of like Monopoly money. They can go to our closet where we have new and slightly used clothing, we have equipment, we have diapers and car seat strollers, and they can purchase those things. So we have 55 topics, and they may range from fetal development, childbirth, breastfeeding, labor, disciplining their child, and we can see them until that child is a year old. So what happens is that person is given a mentor, and they develop a relationship with that person. It gives us a chance to talk to them about Jesus and to develop a relationship. We actually get to know the families. Gary and I have gone to baptisms, christenings. We've gone to birthday parties and weddings. And it's always a celebration when we finally get that young couple to get married and to get them to go to church. That's when we always have a big celebration. I always tell them, you know, if you go to church, you're going to build another family, and you're going to have support. And we want them to do that and learn that God is love. As a matter of fact, I had one young lady said to Gary and I once, she said, you know, everybody's so kind here. She said, I've never met a group of people that have been so loving and kind in my life. And that really touched my heart, too, to know that she could tell, that she could feel the love of Christ with our group and in our building. Let's see. Actually, we're looking for more people to mentor these young women. And we do have a men's program, too. And I'll let Gary tell you a little bit about that in just a minute. But we're looking for mentors to build relationships with young women. It may take 1 hour a week is all you would need to do. We also need people to come and just hang baby clothes up. Right now, it's summertime, and our regular volunteers are gone. So we have bags of clothing and bins of clothing in the hallway. And nobody has the time to pick them up and hang them up and put them away. But those are the kind of volunteers we're needing. And even in the office, we need volunteers and need your help. Let's see. Every day women come to us with stories of abuse, abandonment, and lacking for support that they need to keep their child. They need healing sometimes from a past abortion, or information about adoption, and referrals to dozens of organizations. If they need an education, we're going to refer them someplace where they can fill out the papers and get grants to go to school. That's one thing that we push. We push to empower women to take care of themselves, to get out of that abusive relationship. If we find out that their family, maybe their grandparents were Baptist, then we're going to give them a church bulletin from a church that's near to where they live and try to develop that relationship for them. Let's see. But all of this that we do starts with someone volunteering their time to give them the encouragement and the hope they need to make informed and good choices. So that's why I'm asking you today, pray for us. And if you have any interest in volunteering, please contact us. And I'm going to have a sign-up sheet. Okay, I'm going to let Gary talk now.
I didn't go by any of my notes, hardly.
As recent as Aretha mentioned to you, the most important thing we need is prayer. We cannot win this battle politically. We're not going to. The only way we're going to win it is through prayer. So please start there with your prayers. I love the sign outside. Make everybody aware of this problem that we have. Over 2,000 babies will be aborted today in this country. Worldwide, that number will exceed well over 10,000. For every 100 babies aborted, one baby is adopted. The thing that strikes me is that those babies aborted could change the world. How many know of Steve Jobs? Did he change the world? He was an adoptee. Just keep that in mind. What we need is your prayer. We need your talents. We already have financial contributors, and for that we thank you, because it takes that money to run the program. Yes, I'm a male mentor. We don't get as many men in as we can, but for women that are lucky, they bring along that father, and maybe it even isn't even the father. It may be a new boyfriend in her life, someone that's going to stay with her. We need to help that person understand how to raise a child. We need that man to know how important his time is with that child. There are tremendous statistics that tell us that a girl that grows up with a strong father figure in her life will not have many of these problems. So that male presence is wildly important to both men and women, male and female children. What do they need? I've had at least three of my the men that I'm mentoring that had grown stepchildren anywhere from 6, 8, 9, 10 years old. Raising a stepchild is completely different than raising your own child, and the expertise that they need to hear from is out there. I've never had a stepchild, but some of you may have. So as a mentor, you can come in and you can make a difference in the life of a young man by helping to understand how important it is to behave a certain way towards a child or a stepchild. So we can't emphasize enough how much we need your prayers, but also how much we need your presence. And so if you just want to volunteer for an hour a week or 2 hours a week, please come down. I think it can make a huge difference in your life. I know there's a gentleman out here in the audience that spends time all the way across the town at the mall in Port Charlotte. And he's a tremendous friend to my sister and several other people. And getting out of your house to do that thing can extend your life and turn things around. So please come and give us a hand. And we thank you for your time this morning. Oh, you know what? I want to say one more thing. We think we're so modern, but I know you, in your Bible studies, have come across the foes of the Hebrews over time. People that worship Baal and sacrifice babies. Can you imagine that we're still doing that 4,000 years later? We're still sacrificing babies to pleasure. So keep praying for us.
I want to say, too, we all know that this is a spiritual battle. We need to keep praying, because, and we will win, because our God is mighty.
Amen. Good job.
We want to thank you all for what you're doing. We've been filling out baby bottles with cash, and we've had some straggle in that we haven't sent you yet. So while you're here, we'd like to present you with this. And we sincerely thank you for what you've done.
Thank you very much. Wants to come for a tour, just call the facility, and I left some business cards at camp. Just call and we'll arrange a tour, and you can come in and see how easy it is. And it's a happy place.
Yes, we are.
So far, our congregation has given about $1,800.
All right.
Now, against nothing, that's a whole lot. And if that saved one day of life, it would have done one of the things. And we'll continue to say Denise's request, or the counters of the request of paper, all I usually count them. So, but we'll take whatever you got. Thank you all. Yes, ma'am.
Pastor Elam, actually, that's three babies.
Three babies.
That pays for the ultrasound and for counseling, so that, and for any counseling when they come in.
Now, I wanted to ask Rachel, is there anything particular we sow here? Is there anything particular you would need that we could maybe possibly make for the babies? If you want to see our sow over, you can see what we have.
Yes.
Maybe we can incorporate.
We get a lot of blankets. We don't get as much of the little receiving blankets. We get quilts, but the little receiving blankets for the birth cloths.
Like those, you know, what you
can do. All right, before you leave, I'll take
one about hats.
Okay,
we have thousands of hats.
All right, okay.
All right, thank you very much.
Any other questions? Now, you all can leave if you wish, and you're welcome to stay.
We can stay.
We never run anybody out.
We'll sneak out when we have to, Pastor. Thank you.
And just think, all those volunteers could have been playing pickleball. You all made the state news this week up here with the dedication of a new pickleball course. Oh yeah, it's a big deal. Pickleball. In the book of Isaiah, I've done lost my page after telling y'all what page to turn to. In the book of Isaiah, in the 19th chapter, we pick up in the 16th verse, and it says this: in that day the Egyptians will be like women. They will shudder with fear at the uplifted hand that the Lord Almighty raises against them. And the land of Judah will bring terror to the Egyptians. Everyone to whom Judah is mentioned will be terrified because what the Lord Almighty is planning against them. You can pop that first one up. There was a really extremely unbelievably good informational. That's fine. No, I like the other one better. Special on the Nile River. Now, basically, Egypt is a big old sand pile with the fortune of having a water source called the Nile River. And it runs ziggity zaggity, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of tributaries and miles of stuff. If you see the light green, that is the area where people actually live. You don't want to live. I mean, anybody ever want to take a vacation to Chad? You know, bring schedule 100 suntan lotion or something like that. But this area here is where the growth is. And usually when, I mean, and, well, we're down in Ethiopia too. Usually when the Bible talks about Egypt, it's talking about that that's touching the Nile River. That's where the large cities were. That's where the population were. That's where the Pharaoh was. That's where the Hebrew children were. So when we talk about Egypt, pop me a big Egypt map. Or all of Africa if you can. I know, you got two weeks coming off, you know? Really?
You want Africa?
Well, that's where Egypt is. There's Africa. Give me a good shot of Egypt.
Pick one.
Picking Egypt. Give me this one right there. I feel like Bob Barker. Here's where most of the population lives. Now, you've got your coast and you've got South Africa, but in all this area, most of this is just dry desert if there's no water. Egypt has been very important in the life of Israel. If we go all the way back, if you wish, to the time of the Joseph and his father and the brothers all coming down and living there, got through the slavery and through their slavery time, ended up becoming a very powerful united nation. Not united nations, but a unit that came up and went and was able later to conquer the Canaan land. But Egypt's also done other things. If you might remember, as soon as the angel told the wise men with three gifts, not the three wise men, don't go back to see Herod, they took off with baby Jesus to Egypt and hid for a period of time. There's been wars between Egypt and Israel. There's been wars with Egypt and Israel together. At times they've protected each other. So it's been a very, very popular area. But now listen to what's going on here. Verse 16, in that day Egyptians will be like women. Okay, I like women, but I think there's a description there that's simply saying they're going to be cowardly. They're not going to be the big rough warriors that we all see at all the time we watch the movie or the Mummy or all those type of things. It's going to be they're in fear of their life. Why? Because God will send them a tremendous amount of fear for His own purpose. He says, the Lord Almighty will bring terror to them because what He's planning to do against them. God has a picture in His mind. Some of you all are extremely good planners. You know from now for the next year pretty much what you're going to be doing at least every month, if not every week. My growing up minister, Marshall Leggett, would take 2 weeks off and go to South Carolina in the summertime and write manuscript every sermon he was going to preach morning and night for the next year. He had it all planned out. Then he would memorize them and repeat them to you. That's planning. I don't even know what I'm having for lunch today. And you all know that's true. Some of us just don't have that knack. We're more the Pollyanna, the serendipity time. Well, God has the plan. Why didn't He tell the Hebrews everything He had planned for them? Do you ever think about that? Why didn't He let them know what all the plans were? I mean, Abram didn't believe he was going to have a child at 90. Come back and got one. Why didn't God tell them everything? Would you like to be that organized? Or Chuck?
I think that since we have free will, we can probably change it.
Oh, I wish you hadn't brought that up. Yeah, that free will does get in the way, doesn't it? Sometimes for our benefit, and sometimes for our... That's exactly right. And it's really, a lot of it's up to us, but it is free will. That's why there had to be a Jesus. That's why there had to be salvation plan, because of the free will. He did not make puppets. Now, there are times that God made it pretty simple what you're going to do. Let me give you a name of one person that may tell you God made it pretty simple what you're going to do. Jonah. Go to Nineveh. No, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't like them people. Go to Nineveh. No, no, I ain't going to Nineveh. I'm going the other way. Jump in the water and get swallowed by the fish. Can I go to Nineveh now? You know, it's one of those type of things. So sometimes God will say, here's what I got planned. Now, I guess in total that if we say no enough, he'll just find somebody else. He'll just find somebody else. One of the best trained people during the time of Jesus had to have been by line of sight a fellow by the name of Judas. Didn't follow through with his training. So what did God do? He provided Matthias as the 13th apostle. Well, he replaced Judas. I may say the 12th. Then Paul is the 13th. So if we don't want to do it his way, somebody's going to do it his way. Here's what's happening here. In that day, I love those three words. In that day, five cities in Egypt will speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord Almighty. Now, the language of Canaan is where the Hebrews had been. That's Canaan land. Canaan land, oh glory, Canaan land. You've heard that song. But there will be five major cities in Egypt that will have learned Hebrew, or Chaldean, if you wish. There's actually a combination of several different languages. They will have learned that and were conversant in it because they had been around the Hebrew children enough. And then the second part of that says, and what will they do? They will swear allegiance to the Lord God Almighty. A lot of our missionaries work by going to a place and staying with them enough that they can show an example of what they're doing to the people. And a lot of times, school days, school reading and writing and arithmetic taught to the tune of a hickory stick. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or if you grew up in a Catholic school, to a ruler on the backside of your hand by a nun. You know? Well, that's not the best way to learn. It's through encouragement and sharing. And for us, I know for a fact that probably better than half of you all in here today have come because someone invited you. Now our biggest inviter, I hear, is the internet. Two people last week came first time, read it on the internet. So we put the word out there. Here's what's going on. Come and be a part of it. And hopefully when you are here, you will feel a part of us. And then you come and invite somebody else and make them a part of it. Was that Prell commercial, I told two friends and they told two friends? Life is like that. We often are the best salesman for whatever the product is. And this time this product is God. We go on. One of them will be called the city of destruction. The word destruction is the same word helios that the Hebrews use for the word sun or heat or fire. So whatever goes on in this city, it's a burning place, a hot place, a place of fire and destruction. And God is not opposed to using total destruction to get His way. I mean, we know of some cities, you might want to say like Jericho. It was gone real quickly after the 6 days of marching around for nothing. Seventh day, seven times, boom, it's down. So God's not opposed to taking the city. The city of Ai, which was supposed to be burnt, wasn't totally burnt. God got the point to him. So he's trying to say there will be a city of destruction. And in that day, there will be an altar to the Lord in the heart of Egypt. And we do know, sadly, in the last 10 years, it's changed, I'm afraid, too much. But we do know that there are a lot of what is... Have you heard the term Coptic Christians? That's the Egyptian Christians that have been following God for centuries. Now, the Mujahideen from the north, the Hezbollah, the four or five of the different... what are they called? Four or five of the different invaders have tried to wipe out any word of Allah, excuse me, any word of Jehovah, anything having to do with Jehovah, or anything having to do with the Jews or the Christians. And they've done a pretty good job of their brutality. Christian martyrs are growing. There seems to be, this is almost a sermon, I do apologize. Hold on. This seems to be more and more acceptable to kill what you don't like. Now, you all did not get involved in it. It's a long way to get involved, but we can go back to the Ruth Sanger up in Cincinnati, where the abortion process was made very extremely possible and to not care about it. And we've heard so much about it. Abortion is a right now. It's somehow been created into the Constitution. I can't find it, but somebody did. Five guys did, at least, and created. They hear about the governor of Virginia until he got in trouble with his music and all that. Wanting to kill the babies after they're born, and New York City said they're going to. And it just becomes laissez-faire. If it's inconvenient, we will kill it. Well, it goes back this far. It goes back as far as Egypt, isn't it? And that's what he said. And if I don't get my weights, they're going to suffer, God says. When they cry out to the Lord because of their oppressors, He will send them a Savior and Defender, and He will rescue them. And Egypt did it. There's a time or two the same thing happened in Israel as well. But finally, when they realized how bad things were, they said, we were a lot better off when we had God. Now, there's a lot of conversation, even amongst the churches today. Is it gone so far? Have we gotten so far away from God that we can't be called back? Dwight's opinion is, you can't go so far from God that He won't take you back. Now, it may be that you've gotten so far from God that you don't want to come back, or you choose it's easier not to come back. But that's not what life's all about. He is a God of... did Jesus not say forgiveness 70 times 7, unlimited? So God welcomes His people to come back. He wants them to. He that's what He's after. So the Lord will make Himself known in that day, and they will acknowledge the Lord. They will worship with sacrifices and grain. Now, this is talking about the Egyptians, the Christians. They will worship with sacrifices and grain offerings. They will make vows to the Lord and will keep them. You can promise anything, but follow through. That's the main thing. I mean, how many presidents, was it five or six presidents in a row, that promised to make Jerusalem the American headquarters? Embassy, thank you. And nobody did it until just the last year. So promises, but follow through is what God wants. Follow through. The Lord will strike Egypt with a plague. He will strike them and heal them. If God sends a problem, He can also send a solution. Will we recognize the solution is the bigger question. And quite so often, we've gotten so far away from it, we don't. Right now, I don't know what a cool day would feel like. Well, what have we had? 8 or 10 in a row with a heat ended. Who's there's two people that I'd be put in prison with all the doors shut. The guy that invented wind chill factor and the guy that invented heat indexes. Because it wasn't that hot before they invented a heat index, and it wasn't that cold until they invented the wind chill factor. It was 47 below zero wind chill factor. And Janet, you know all about that. You'd, your husband was a lineman, and was it some 80 degrees below wind chill factor some days?
That's what he said.
In the Lord's house, contradicting her husband. I guess if you're out there and be anything you want it to be. But God will strike them with a plague, and then He's going to heal them. They will turn to the Lord, and He will respond to their pleas and heal them. It still has to be our choice. Why can't just God make everybody good? Chuck, why can't God make everybody good? What'd you tell us a while ago? Free will. Oh, would you not like to be no more illegal drugs? Would you like no more? There's alcohol that hurts people. Tobacco that hurts people. The abortion process and all these things that we see. But God gave us the choice. And it's our choice. And once we make the choice, we can benefit from it. If we make the right choice. In that day again, there will be a highway from Egypt to Syria. Now there have been war routes. And I'm not talking about I-75. I'm talking about war routes where they would move armies from Assyria, which is north of Israel. Syria and Syria. Not Syria, but Assyria. There have been war routes where they take their armies down and they would raid Lebanon. They would raid the Jordan, the Transjordan. They would raid into Israel. They would go all the way to Egypt. So there were highways built for that purpose. I believe God's talking here about, or through Isaiah is talking here about peaceful roads. Roads where good things can be traveled back and forth. And how important that will be when he allows that to happen. Assyrians will go to Egypt, and Egypt will go to Assyria. The Egyptians and the Assyrians will worship together. Now, he ain't talking about Baal worship like you mentioned a while ago. He's talking about worship Jehovah together. That there will be a time, believe it or not, that there will be a time when the differences of hatred and racial problems and all these things we bring up anymore will melt away, and we'll be looking to the Savior to join us together. I will use a phrase. I don't know that any of you all have ever heard this phrase, but I kind of expect you do. What is the most segregated hour in America?
Church.
Sunday worship time. Isn't that something? But yet we grew up singing, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. I've told you all this before, some of you have not heard it. I grew up, I was scared to death of Yankees. I'm scared to death of Yankees. Even though my people fought for the North, I'm still scared of Yankees. And the Yankees are come down here and they're going to destroy the state of Kentucky. Eat all the horses. Smoke all the baccy and drink all the moonshine. We're just going to be in bad shape because of them Yankees. First time I met one, my daughter married him. But he's a redneck Yankee, so it's okay. Blessed be Egypt, my people. The Lord will bless them. Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. Now, looky there. He broke them down. Each nation has a purpose. What? Egypt's my people. Well, yeah. The Israelite nation grew in Egypt. Syria, God's going to make them work. This war that's going on and been going on and going to keep going, I believe we're going to see a shift of attention with Syria to what we call Persia, or you may want to call it, what's it called up there now? Iran. I believe we're going to start seeing some changes. He shoots down a plane full of people instead of a spy drone. It might be not good. Again, I don't know. The Lord will bless Egypt, my people, Assyria, my handiwork, and Israel, my inheritance. And we know that's the inheritance. It talks about even the book of Revelation, where the bride of is Christ, the church, the bride of Christ, and is coming down out of heaven to let us worship and be a part of it. Any questions there? Let's keep going. In the year that supreme commander, sent by Sargon of Assyria, came to Ashdod and attacked and captured it. At that time, the Lord spoke through Isaiah, the son of Amos, said to him, take off the sackcloth from your body and the sandals from your feet. And he did so, going around stripped and barefooted. So now this is Isaiah going to history. And do remember, there were a lot of terrible wars, cruel wars. In the nations back then, if you were an Assyrian, and I wasn't, I was less than human. So to kill or enslave somebody who is not of your race and nationality was not a big deal because you considered them less than human. It's amazing. You remember now, let's go back with me. Good night. 15 years, 18 years. Sunni and Shiites. Remember the Sunnis and the Shiites? All of them Muslims. The disagreement was whether you had to be a direct lineage of Muhammad to be the high royal priest or not. So they killed each other over that. And if you remember, before 9/11, there was tremendous war going on between the Sunni and the Shiites. So there have been conflicts way all back, all the way back to the way Old Testament and on. Even in the time of Abraham, there were conflicts going on. So he told Isaiah, take off the sackcloth. Now, we talked about that last week. Sackcloth is about as rough, coarse, and cheap of any kind of material you can make or buy. It gave you the itchies. Take it off. Just wear your loincloth. That's all you're going to wear. Take off your sandals. Well, I don't know about you, but walking around here without sandals invites sand fleas, sticker bushes, fire ants, as well as coral and rock and hot. Burn your feet in a heartbeat. So, he says you're going to be uncomfortable, prophet. And just as Isaiah had gone, stripped and barefooted for 3 years is a sign of the portent against Egypt and Cush. Cush, did you have that before? If you lost it, that's fine.
No, I don't have it.
You do not have it, or you do not lost it?
There's Cush on the bottom.
Spelled with a K, but we'll accept that. Some people spell Carol with a K, and some people with a C. Still in the Nile area. Still where there's life and wealth. But there's going to be a conflict. You know, very few people. Have you ever thought about this? Would any of y'all like to go and attack? Now, I'm apologizing if I name a place you've been. Wyoming. Anybody want to attack Wyoming? You've been. I know Annie Oakley's been there. Shot a gun, fell on her backside. Anybody want to? How about go to the Gohab Desert out there? Anybody want to go capture the Gohab Desert? Why not? Ain't nothing there. That's exactly right. You want to go where there's water and fish and, you know, and good stuff. Well, what are you laughing about? Oh, okay. You want to attack the Gohab Desert?
No.
Okay. Okay. So the king of Syria will lead away, stripped and barefoot, the Egyptian captives and the Cushites, exiles young and old, with buttocks bare. The Egyptians shamed those who trusted in Cush and boasted in Egypt will be afraid and be put to shame. In that day, again, the people who live will see the coast and say, see, this is what happened to those who relied on. We relied on. Those we fled for help and deliverance from the king of Assyria. How can we escape? Well, the leader of Assyria is still causing problems now. And I don't know that unless somebody powerful comes along and straightens them out or gives them a reason not to be aggravating and fighting and killing, when was it going to happen? Your descendants will war with the woman's descendants. The serpent was told. The good versus evil will go on. And only in the end will the ultimate decision be rendered. Yes, it started there on the cross, and carried through in the tomb, and ended up on the Resurrection Sunday. But there's still conflict. So when we hear about wars and rumors of wars, Jesus told us that's going to happen. Now, if you sit around, and honestly, there are HBO of all people had a special this past week, and it talked about a class, some kind of a reality class of kids, and one of the little third graders was missing. They found her in the closet, boiled down, squalled and bawling, because she was having a panic attack. Because of global warming and the news on this, the news on that, the news on the wars, all that stuff got sold to her that she just gave up. Would that help explain why we have 10-year-olds on Oxycontin, 12-year-olds going to school drunk, et cetera, et cetera? that they have no hope. N-O, Jesus. N-O, hope. K-N-O, Jesus. K-N-O-W, excuse me. Who am I spell check? K-N-O-W, Jesus. K-N-O-W, hope. And there are so many people in this world that are really hopeless. And I think what you offer, from what I have read and studied and all, that you offer these young ladies hope that is not the end of the road. And with the good help that comes from you all's training and the people's support too, that there is an option. I will be wrong 50% of the time. Mozart or Beethoven? Did his mother not have measles when he was in utero, and they wanted her just to kill the baby, born deaf? Which one was it? Beethoven with the fifth. Okay. What if they had given up on him? So we just can't give up. We have the sweetest young Jacob in church. Now, Jacob had an episode Sunday. Jacob's going to have episodes. He's got frontal. His mother asked me to explain this. He's got frontal lobe deterioration. The front part of the brain is like Alzheimer's of an 85-year-old. Nothing he does causes it. Nothing they do will stop it. It will probably get more and more frequent. And if something changes just a little bit, that's why Becky sits down on the front. You thought she was just lazy. That's why she sits down on the front. There'll be no supper tonight, Dwight. That's why she sits up there with Jacob to give him a calming force. And he loves the bells. You know, Jacob's what? 35 or 40 years old. But see, that's what we don't give up. Normally, he would not have been adopted out. He would have been put in a home or aborted. Yes?
Do you know what little thing was the father in that?
Becky wasn't there.
Possibly.
Becky wasn't there.
Possibly.
He didn't get to ring the bell. I said right there.
He didn't get that last note. Is that what it was?
Waited, and it turned into counting.
He broke his pattern, Si. He's very regimented, broke his pattern.
He said it in his eyes, that is.
Yeah, and he couldn't stop it.
The last time he had the meltdown, we switched the order a little bit, and he wasn't prepared for it, so that's the reason he had it the other time. And he has some at home.
That's not you. But a loving child of God is you could ever find. And they adopted him knowing that he would be that way. Knowing after they raised their children, they adopted him that way. So these type of things we have to understand. We can make it work if we let God work through us. What now?
That's awesome. My neighbor just passed away from sepsis.
Yeah. Now, don't go up and try to hug him. Jacob does not like hugging. He'll high five or air five or something like that. That's fine. But he feels a part of you because he is part of us here. So we go that way. He says, how then can we escape? We escape through God. Just like talked about the prayer, we escape through God. An oracle, a writing, concerning the desert by the sea, like the whirlwind sweeping through the Southland, an invader comes from the desert, from the land of terror. Now, I saw part of a movie called The Mummy, The Mummy Returns. Not the old one with Boris Karloff. I'm talking about the new one with the good-looking guy. That wind starts coming and covers people. I don't want to be over there. If I got to be in the sand, take me to Fort Myers Beach or Sanibel or something. I don't know, but I don't want... I can see how the wind coming and hot. And you can't see a thing. I can see why. Camels. You know what camels do? Camels have two sets of eyelids. An inner eyelid and an over eyelid to cover it all. So terror, a land of terror. A dire vision has been shown to me. The traitor betrays. The looter takes loot. Elam attacked Media, lay siege. I will bring it to an end at the groaning she caused. At this my body is racked with pain. Pain seized me like those of a woman in labor. I'm staggered. It's so funny to hear a guy talk about a woman in labor, you know? I'm staggered by what I hear. I'm bewildered by what I see. It gets pretty heavy at times. Overwhelmingness comes up. My heart falters. Fear makes me tremble. The twilight I long for has become a horror for me. Last night on America Got Talent, they had a girl from Northport, Florida. Or some of you saw it. Marvelous child. Her father owns an ice cream factory. What a great friend to have. Huh?
Sweet Scoops.
Is that what it is? Sweet Scoops.
I know where it is. Yeah, it's great.
You know what I'm talking about then?
Yeah, Sweet Scoops is good.
I thought you were talking about the girl. She cut loose. Now, I'm looking at about this tall, you know, look like she weighs about 9.5 pounds. I'm thinking, twinkle, twinkle, little star. Okay, no. She sang some opera Oreo, not the cookie, but the I was crying. I mean, she wailed on it. When it was over, they were bragging about her, and she was shaking. Did not realize that she would get that much attention and how good she was. Wow. So sometimes we just get so excited we can't control ourselves. She could not control herself. She was so exuberant, maybe, I don't know. My heart falters. Fear makes me tremble. The twilight I long for has become a horror to me. Are any of you campers? Now, I'm not talking about a 49-foot Winnebago. I'm talking about a backpack and a set of matches, you know, and a roll of toilet paper if you're lucky.
And a puppy
tent. Yeah. You ever got lost while you're camping? All right, here's another word for you. Any of y'all spelunkers? Spelunker. Those who go into caves. Did y'all ever do that? Okay, you got to be crazy. Because I've done that, and I was crazy. And remember about, was it last year, the Vietnamese, Japanese Boy Scouts or something like that, got lost. Now, twilight may be fun until you need the daylight to see what you're doing. Eva May.
Yeah. On our honeymoon, we went to Mammoth Cave. Walked in a cave, it was 55 degrees. No sweater. So we had a guide. We were in places that we could barely walk through.
That man's miserable.
Yeah.
That man's miserable.
And if you've ever...
His steps was 137 steps.
My daddy built those steps. And the bathrooms and everything down there. Worked there for 2 years. 55 degrees, 24/7. When they turn that light out, and you're standing in front of what they call a dead man's fall, they say it's like 1,000 feet deep. Well, you know it's not 1,000 feet deep. 10 foot's enough. And they turn those lights off and says, don't move. I'm thinking, I ain't going nowhere. No.
You know, all the people screaming.
That was me. This is what the Lord says. Post a lookout. Have him report what he sees. When he sees chariots with teams of horses, riders on donkeys and riders on camels, let him be alert and fully alert. Watching for the enemy. And the lookout shouted, day after day, my Lord, I stand at the watchtower. Every night I stand in my post. Look, here comes a man in a chariot with a team of horses. And he gives back an answer. Babylon has fallen. All the images of its gods lie scattered on the ground. Now, throughout the Old Testament, and if you look into the book of Revelation, Babylon is mentioned as an evil place. Yes, they came in under God's direction, but yet they did come in, and they destroyed Jerusalem, took it down to the blocks, killed most of the people, made the rest of them slaves. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and Daniel, you've heard those names, where Nebuchadnezzar and the group tried to get them to follow the false gods. And those four guys wouldn't do it. And God blessed them abundantly because they wouldn't do it. But Babylon and old Nebuchadnezzar were some really rotten, nasty guys. They saw what they wanted, they took it. Anybody got in the way? Made slaves or died. They ripped all of the temple, gold and silver and bronze, out of there and took it with him to Babylon. But as powerful as he once was, he no longer ruled. When God came back and wanted to free the children of Israel. So it's significant for them to say Babylon has fallen. Now folks, there's been more than one Babylon. I'm not talking about the place in Persia. I'm talking about what used to be called Peking or Beijing. I don't know what they call it now. Moscow used to be a powerful place. The China Wall, the Huns. There have been a lot of big, huge nations. Matter of fact, and Mark, may I tell them? Mark is half Potawatomi Indian, Native American. There are times when your people were here before our people, or your father's people were here first, that there were great roaming tribes of Native Americans. But they're gone. And we're not afraid of Cochise or the Comanches anymore, and on and on and on. And all these great powerhouses. The English weren't all that good for a while. The Spanish Armada. There's been some pretty dastardly, rough, powerful, mean countries and nations. They're gone. They only last a short period of time. And God takes back over. What we need to hope is, as these cycles start again, that we'll come back to the good side. And not just laissez-faire, let it be, but actually try to grow for the better. Because that's what God's plan is. Are my people crushed on the threshing floor? I tell you, I've heard from the Lord Almighty, from the God of Israel. Now Mark verse 11, that's where we'll pick up next Wednesday. Chapter 21, Mark verse 11. But I think what I see here, well, next time we get downtrodden and think nothing's worth it, it's just not all vanity, vanity, all is vanity, saith the prophet from Mr. Solomon. God's got a plan. Let him work it. Any questions? There's forums going around. There's things to sign up going around. Thank our guests for coming and sharing the good news, the plan and the hope with us.